Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy party Friday, everyone. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. True straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. You went and saw Dr. Jack Schaefer today.
And feel much better for it.
Feels much better for it. Today we're going to have, coming up at the bottom of the hour, Wes Eimer. I think all you guys know who Wes Eimer is. If not, he's one of the Colorado representatives and for some of the young Republican stuff. Great guy. We've had him on our show numerous times. He's going to talk about a fairly controversial
bylaws meeting
that happened last night, but wanted to start off with Kenneth Raposa. He's a former staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal and Forbes. He's currently an analyst at the Coalition for a Prosperous America. And boy, did he have a column that was right on the mark recently. Hey, Kenneth, thank you for your time and welcome to the show.
Kenneth. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah. So, yeah, the column that you had on, it was after the Columbia thing. It was like sort of, you know, screw around and find out, talking about tariffs working. And I don't know, Trump must have read it because it sounds like tomorrow he is indeed going to introduce tariffs involving Canada and Mexico.
And China.
And yeah. So why don't you first, I guess, thank you for being on the show. And why don't you talk about, what do you mean screw around and find out? Columbia showed how tariffs can work.
Right. So one of the things that Trump said about tariffs is that he would use them for leverage to exact concessions out of other countries that Washington or Trump deems is doing us wrong. Right. So in this case, it was, we're going to send you back. We're going to send back your our deportees. Colombian nationals are going home. The government of Colombia, led by Gustavo Petro, who was elected 2 years ago, he's a leftist, said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to take these guys back. And then Trump said, oh, really? You're not going to take them back? Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to hit you at 25% tariffs. We're going to sanction your government officials. All visas will be revoked. So Colombians who think they're coming to Disney next month to go, they're not going to get a tourist visa, all that stuff. So within about an hour, the Colombian government, led by Gustavo Petro, reversed course and said, okay, we'll pick them up ourselves. We'll send our own plane. We'll bring our people home. So that just goes to show how when you threaten tariffs that high, 25% going to 50% after a week of noncompliance, that a country like Colombia and maybe even Mexico and Canada is going to come to some sort of agreement. And in this case with Colombia, it was a very simple agreement. The agreement was, look, you have people here that we've arrested, not because they overstayed their visa, but in many cases because they robbed, murdered, right? And we don't want them here. So you could do whatever you want with them in your country, but we don't want them in ours. They're not American citizens. You're taking them back. So that was the simple request. And eventually, not long, an hour or two later, Colombia's government decided they would comply with that.
Well, this afternoon, Gautier Perez has said that he wants all Colombians to self-deport from the United States back to Colombia. So, okay.
Well,
now we're doing good.
You know, and he did it too. Yeah. But there was stuff in the internet about how, you know, under Biden, we would have had to form five committees, task forces, right, boardroom panels. And Trump, like, apparently, like, literally did this between holes on the golf course.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what leadership looks like, right? We're not going to have this Western way of leading where you got to do everything by committee. You don't want to offend. OK, the people don't want this. The Europeans don't want it. Americans certainly don't want it. Right. They don't want it anymore. They're tired of it. So. As an example, Gustavo Petro was made an example of this weekend where we said we are not going to be an open border nation anymore. The previous government opened the borders, made everyone a fake refugee. That's too bad. These people were pawns in a political game, a game that was played to bludgeon Trump and the players lost, and they are going home. Now, if they're legit refugees, if they're legit asylum seekers, other than fake ones, who just downloaded the CBP One app,
yeah,
right? If they're real ones, their lives are in danger back home, then they will be considered. They will be considered.
Most
of them will not be considered.
There are no real asylum seekers. I mean,
I don't think so either. I mean, some guys like Haiti, let's say, for example, like the Haitians. So Haiti's country has, imploded. So maybe you can make an argument for the Haitians, right? Because of what happened with
That's the last thing you want to do. Even the Dominican Republic, which shares the island with them, says, no, you're all going back home. You're not going to all leave the island again. So that they should be last on the list.
Kenneth, let me ask you this, though. So the Colombia thing, that was pretty straightforward and easy to understand and easy for Colombia to comply. What about now? So Trump is talking about tariffs against Mexico and Canada, talking about the porous borders and controlling fentanyl. I mean, that's a little
vague,
right? And harder to quantify. How do you talk to us about that and how what this might accomplish and how it's going to affect all of us?
Sure. So let's try to make it as simple as possible, right? So you could say, let's single out Mexico alone here, right? We could say to Mexico, we're going to hit you at 25% tariffs unless you seal that border and unless you do something. I started reading headlines that the leaders of the Jalisco and Gulf and Sinaloa cartels are in jail or dead, okay? So that's it. If I don't see that or hear that, then you're going to get hit with tariffs. That's the story. So if I see hundreds of people coming across the border and you're not helping us, then we have a problem. If I see Jalisco and Gulf cartels just sending fentanyl across the border, my CBP agents are just, pulling people over in cars with, stuffed animals with 5 kilos of fentanyl in it, that's turning American iconic cities like San Francisco, certain neighborhoods, into a zombie apocalypse. 25%. That's it. So I got to see action. Got to see action. So that's the Trump. That's the Trump view on Mexico, I believe. Okay, and what he's almost said those words verbatim.
Right.
Canada is a similar situation. Okay, because we have Mexican drug cartels in Canada who make fentanyl and send it to the northern part of the United States. Okay. I think that you'll get some sort of concession faster from Mexico because you actually have a new government in place there. And Canada has essentially no government.
Yeah.
Trudeau has resigned, and he is a caretaker prime minister at this point until his party can decide who's going to take his place. We're not going to know that until the spring. So that's the immediate reason for the tariffs. I don't know if they're going to go in place tomorrow. I don't know. But that's the immediate reason for the tariff. Now, the other reason would be the other part of the deal, backroom deal, that might not be a sexy headline, is on the trade front, right? So let me give you an example. In 2017, we had a trade deficit with Canada that was about, if I remember correctly, $16 billion, okay? Now it is $60 billion, okay? The same thing with Mexico. In 2017, we had a tariff with Mexico, our trade deficit with Mexico of about $60 billion. Now it is about $160 billion.
Wow.
Trump is like, his attitude is, why am I buying all your stuff and you're not buying any of my stuff? So what he might want to do there is say, you're going to stop buying more of my stuff. So I'm not buying. So we're more balanced.
Let's okay. Balance.
Those would be sort of the boring things that happen in the background.
Right. Those to me almost sound, and let me ask if this is a wrong analysis, but those almost sound like what might be Trump's even like bigger goals. And as you said, it's harder for people to understand that so they don't make as good a headline, but there's a lot of support for closing the border to fentanyl, right? And so go ahead and lead with that. And like you said, then in the back room, you're telling Canada, okay, now that's deal about the stuff.
But do you know why we have such enormous deficit with Canada? Mexico, it's easy. They don't have environmental regulations. They're not unionized. It's going to cost you a lot less to manufacture something in Mexico, the United States. But Canada? Why Canada? Why is Canada so much cheaper to send goods to the United States than we send to them? I mean, I don't
Well, I think
quite
one of the
know.
big I think one of the big reasons for our deficit with Canada is off the top of my head, right, is oil and gas, right? That's considered, that's for some reason our that is considered part of the goods deficit, unfortunately. It's not roped away, right? It's not, even though it's a commodity, raw oil, raw crude is considered a good. So that's one reason. Okay. Another reason is the auto industry. The auto industry is big, and they sell a lot of stuff to the United States, parts and full cars. So that's those are the two reasons. Another reason is that they do not import as much from the United States. So, there's a lot of things like basically like dairy. So if you're a Wisconsin dairy farmer and you were promised in the free trade agreement, whether it was NAFTA or the new USMCA, that you're going to be able to export more cheese or more raw milk or whatever kind of product, dairy product you thought you could export more to China, to Canada, that never happened. That's never happened.
But
So there
why
are things
would
like that a lot of people complain. You hear a lot of the senators complain about that. Why don't Canada do this? And so that's one reason why the Canadian gap is so big. Okay.
why would it be easier, better, more less expensive to manufacture auto parts in Canada and ship them here than make them here? I mean, why is that there a competitive advantage that Canada has? Is it we have lousy unions, we have lousy workers, we have lousy what?
Okay. So the Canadian Auto Union has a different agreement with the big automakers there. Okay. I don't know what that agreement is, but it is different. For example, maybe a year ago or so, when you read about all the United Auto Workers strife that they were going through with the big Detroit automakers, right? That there was some talk that these companies would move some production to Mexico. Well, some of them, like Stellantis, moved production to Canada. Okay. Now that agreement is all taken care of, but at the time they had reached a different agreement with the Canadian Union, whatever that agreement was, I'm not privy to it. And so
Okay.
they have a better contract with the Canadian labor for some of these companies. So that's one of the reasons why they're there. Another reason, of course, the Canadian dollar is a little cheaper than the US dollar. But another thing that's very interesting, and Trump has talked about this, wanted to do this, is that Canadian government, if you are a manufacturer in Canada, you have a 15% flat tax. So the taxes are a lot lower in Canada than they are here.
That could be. What about, let me ask you this. I was reading a thing. You have AOC and all those people jump up and say, oh, our flour is going to be more expensive. And
Oh, yeah.
I was reading a
Right.
thing
Yeah. Yeah.
in the
Yeah.
Conservative Treehouse where they said that didn't happen. Like from 27, whenever this has gone, we've gone through this before, American prices actually don't go up. Talk about that a little
Yeah.
bit.
Okay. I'll talk about that. Ready? Okay. Julie, I'm sorry. That rapist next door, that's the illegal immigrant that killed your friend's daughter, he really has to stay here because otherwise the Valentine chocolates and the Valentine roses you were going to buy your husband, they're just going to cost $1.50 more, Julie. That's it. And you want to go to Starbucks and get your Colombian dark roast, and it's going to cost you 20 cents more. That's how it is. So you got to keep them.
Yeah, there
Look,
you go. So it's
this is what I call sophomore year NYU, thinking, right? Because of course, even if we put 25% tariff on a good, the good costs $100. I tariff at 25%. That does not mean the good is now $125. That's not how it works. Okay, that's not how it works. But let's pretend that's how it did work. So if all of a sudden my coffee from Colombia was going to cost me $100 for a bag of raw coffee beans, and now it's going to cost me $125, which I just said is not really the case, but let's pretend it was. I, as the importer, like Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, who doesn't want to pay that, right, or doesn't want to transfer that cost to my consumers, I could say, you know something? I'm going to lay off my Colombian orders of coffee beans, and I'm going to go with Mexico. I'm going to go with Brazil. I'm going to go with Indonesia. There's tons of places you could buy coffee. It's not going to taste exactly the same, but if you want your Colombian dark roast, if you must have it, then
Then you can pay that.
have to pay the price for that.
Does
But if
it?
you don't, because it's non-discretionary, it's not like car insurance. You don't need to have a Colombian coffee.
Right.
You can buy a Mexican one. You can buy a Costa Rican one. And it's the same thing with flowers. You don't need to buy Colombian roses, which is the biggest market. You know, Colombia mostly sells flowers to the United States. You can buy roses grown in Mexico. How about buying roses grown in California or the United States? How about that?
Well, then that's my other question is I got to assume that part of the thing is that one of the things that Trump talks about is, and hey, that's stimulate the American economy with American production, right? So if all of a sudden you've got people saying, hey, I want to buy my roses from you in California, it seems to me that people in California will start growing roses. And then that's good for the American economy, right?
Well, when the United States decided to sign a free trade agreement with Colombia, the California Flower Associations, farmers who grew roses for in particular, stopped
Yeah.
growing them. I mean, they grow a little bit. They might grow stuff for Lowe's and things like that, but cut flowers, cut they got out of that business.
Right.
So you're looking at millions of dollars. You could just Google search, the Flower Associations of California, what they said about the Colombian free trade deal. Flowers, farmers went out of business. They lost millions of dollars. So, if we can help the Colombians, whatever, but at what expense? So are we going to help a country? You're going to help a foreign country? Well, I like it like this, right? We have our own family. I have my own family. This is my wife, my kids. Okay. I don't owe my neighbor anything. Okay. So America, we're one big family. So if our crazy American family does something stupid, they rob, they steal, we'll take care of them. They're going to go to jail. They're going to face justice. But if some other person comes in and is not part of our family and they start breaking things and, sucking up our resources that we kind of want, what obligation are we really to, like,
Right.
take care of these people, right? They were invited here by a government that did it as a political tool
Right.
against the will of the majority of Americans. And I'm sorry, but if they are going to be deported from the Roosevelt Hotel, a beautiful, iconic hotel in Midtown Manhattan that is now full of migrants, if they're going to be deported from there, well, I mean, I'm sorry, but if you and I went to Monaco and worked as bartenders for 2 years, and all of a sudden the Prince of Monaco decided that we can't do that because we're not Monaco, locals, and we have to go home, we got to get off the yacht, we can't work there, pouring drinks anymore, and this guy's yacht, the gig is up, then that's it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And it's
Did
the
you
same
say
thing
what
with these
you?
guys, and the people are going to have to realize it, and the media, can cry about it all day long, but, this is how life is, and this is how the world should work.
Right.
Did you say you went to NYU?
No, never.
Really?
Definitely did not go there. Definitely did not
Okay.
go there. My daughter wanted to go. She was going to apply there. It was during COVID. It was like she graduated from high school, and I was like, please God, do not even think about going there. So.
A little bit about the so all of these things you're saying, which I mean, even I understand, and I'm not an economist, and Trump has been saying, and he said before, and it worked. So it just makes so much sense. What do you think was underneath the Democrats' policies and the American policies? I think probably not just under Democrats that screwed this up so much.
Well, on the economy side, you have to remember, and of course, the Republicans, they're the original gangsters of globalization and globalism, right? They were very much in fit. They were the party of Wall Street and the party of the multinational corporation, and they were very much in favor of,
Free trade.
outsourcing. And then what happened is over the years, probably beginning in the Clinton era, the Democrats started to attract or at least reach out to that group, okay? And then that group, basically took over a major part of the Democratic Party. There's a progressive wing of the Democratic Party led by guys like Bernie or AOC, but those people are just given the culture war. They're just allowed to fight about the culture war. That has nothing to do with business and power, right? That's just culture war stuff. That brings out the vote, which is could
Right.
lead to power, of course, but that's what that's for. So both parties have always been in bed with this multinational, view of how the economy should work, which was that, look, we're going to be a consumer economy. We're going to be economy that where financial services are, where it's at. That's where we make our money. And we're not really going to make things. We're not really going to make a lot of stuff, you know. But if you've ever grown up in an area where there was manufacturing, like I have grown up in, and you've seen those factories have closed, that you're looking at a generation that has never recovered. Let me give you an example. We all heard of the brand RCA. They used to make TVs, right? We all know. We've all heard of RCA. It's part of an iconic American brand. Years ago, probably in the early 80s, it was sold to a French multinational that closed, I believe, every factory in the United States and outsourced the manufacturing of, you know, TV tubes and televisions, okay? There was a huge factory that made these in, I believe, Camden, New Jersey, or East, somewhere in like the inner city of Jersey. The building is still there. One of them still sits empty. They're still trying to figure out what to do with it. The income, I believe, I'm throwing these off the top of my head. The income in like 1984, the median income in that area was around $36,000, $38,000 in the early 80s. Today, I believe it's around in the 50s. Okay, so if you were to correct for inflation, that area is making less money now,
yeah,
right, than it did in 1982, 83.
Yeah.
Because no one makes stuff. They're driving Ubers, or they're trying to, you know, maybe they're learning to code. You know, two guys learn to code,
right?
And they probably left. They don't live there anymore. So this is what happens when now, if you are going to have an economy, if you want to have a global economy, if you want to have a global economy, which we have, and you want to have a global reserve currency, which we have, the dollar is the currency of world trade. Right. If you want to have those things, and apparently everybody on Capitol Hill wants those things, and you also want to have an industry, you want to make airplanes, you want to make cars, if you want to do those things, then you have to have some sort of measures in place, some sort of, you know, either taxes or some sort of agreements, tariffs in particular, that are going to keep it. Because if you don't, you know, eventually these multinationals are going to say, why am I making this stuff here? Why am I doing this here? Why am I paying? Why am I waiting 6 months to get a permit? Why 6 years to dig a mine? Why am I waiting for it? I'll go to Chile and I'll just put it on a boat, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, both parties have done this. Trump is the one who really changed this. He changed this in 2017 when he became president, when he put tariffs on China. That was unheard of. That was sacrilege.
Right. Right. Well, and he did it now. And now he's not even waiting. It's like, okay, that'll be tomorrow. We're going to do it tomorrow. And so.
Yeah. Well, he has to. He has to do it because, you know, he's learned from years from his first go around, right?
Yeah,
where you
yeah.
can't wait for guys like Paul Ryan to make a decision. And he's not surrounded anymore by people like a Paul Ryan. He's like, well, Mr. President, you know, you're going to hurt them. He's not listening to those guys anymore.
Right.
Not listening to those guys anymore. So that's good. He's good.
Yes.
And he's got a good collection of people in the social media space as well who are, you know, micro influencers and macro influencers of the Trump team.
Well,
right.
I have to say at 12:15, I went out with to drive down my son to do a golf simulator. And I was back just before the show at 3 o'clock. I was going, what have I missed?
Oh, with Trump, yeah. It's like you're gone.
I know.
And what he'd done, he fired the head of the field office for the FBI, and he filed other field office. I mean, you know, any minute, you know, he's up to some incredible shake-up deal.
Yep, I know. And I think I just read a little while ago that John Brennan is, you know, he no longer has his security clearance, so he can't read all the secret documents anymore.
Right.
No,
well, and even worse, Trump said they can't even go in federal buildings and need security clearances. So,
yeah.
They can't walk on the street anymore.
Hey, can
right, you, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, the days of letting bygones be bygones might be over, you know? It's like that Billy Joel song, right? We didn't start the fire, you know, but hey.
Hey, where can people find out more about you and read all your great stuff?
Okay, so I work for the Coalition for a Prosperous America. So you could find me there at prosperousamerica.org, or you could find me on Twitter at Brickbreaker, BRIC Breaker. That's my old Forbes handle, and I still kept it.
Well, it's great to have you on Friday, and we'll have you back soon.
Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
All right. All right, thank you. Kenneth Raposo there. Everybody loves him on the theme here. Let's see. Let's read some of the comments. Yeah, oh, Leo, good guest. Yeah. From Karen, that doesn't seem to address the motive and deliberate plan of people like George Soros to affect world socialism. Yeah, you're right. I mean, there are all kinds of forces at work that have created things like that.
I think Elon Musk had it. George Soros hates humanity.
Right.
And wants to do everything to screw it up. Why we let him is just, you know.
Right. So his link. So his name is, and if you search it, this will come up, guys. It's Kenneth Raposa, Raposa. And he is at the Coalition for a Prosperous America.
Which is not the same as Americans for Prosperity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank you. And Kenneth Raposa. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, he posts some pretty good stuff. He's at Brick, B-R-I-C. Breaker. And I think that's the BRICS coalition, right? He wanted to, but
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, but it's BRICBREA.
Yeah.
No S in his title though. BRICBREAKER.
No South African there. Huh?
That's right. Nope. And this is, well, I think this is before. Let's see. What do we have? Okay. Yeah. Charlene, the deep state's creating chaos. And Dr. Donahue, you must have read our minds with your comment here. Anyone else here mad as heck and not wanting to take it anymore after watching last night's Colorado Central Committee meeting. We're going to talk about that as soon as you see Wes Eimer on, but I see Jacob has his hand up. So, hey, Jacob, go ahead. Welcome to the show. Thanks for your comments.
Do you know what the definition of an NGO is?
What?
It's the second half of the song Bingo.
Oh, okay. B-I-N-G-O. Did you see it was some, they're doing a lot of work anymore, targeting and going after these NGOs that have been facilitating the immigration stuff. They've cut off funding and stuff like that. So that'll go a long way.
Well, there's millions and hundreds of millions that, you know, they've been sending out with, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, with everything. And of course the money flows back. And like money goes to Ukraine and comes back to the Democrats.
Right, right.
And so that's why they hate to. No grants? What do you mean?
That's right. All right. Hey, thank you, Jacob. Hey, and everybody, if you're on Zoom, thank you, Thomas. Thomas has posted the Kenneth's handle on Twitter. And he links to his things there. You know, speaking of, I was going to mention this too.
Really?
Talking about the funding, right? It's amazing what happens when you actually use the power of the purse. Trump has said he is suspending all pay for transgender surgery, mutilation surgeries for minors,
you're
right?
Not gonna mutilate them anymore.
So guess what? Denver Health, which they won't say how many they actually did, announced then today, well, they were going to quit doing them. It's like,
I thought they were doing it.
So in other words, if our taxpayer dollars aren't over our objections being used for these
mutilate
kinds of things,
kids, yeah.
You know, it turns out there's not enough money in it for it. Go figure, you know?
Yeah,
it's
huh.
Like, so boom, that had a big effect there too. They said, we won't be doing, now they didn't say, let's see, cutting off the funding is the answer. Nobody pretends to work for free. Exactly, Charlene. Even the NGOs. I was reading some Lutheran immigration thing that was making like 90, I mean, ridiculous, like $93 million a year and receiving something like that in grants. Did you see now, too, they're going after NPR and PBS?
Yes.
Yeah, they're going after them, too, saying, you know, why? I mean, there's no reason for us to be funding you, right?
Right. So there is no reason.
No, that's the kind of thing. Another thing, so kind of to talk about briefly, but you were talking about, like you said, you go away, you're out of commission at a cell phone range for about 5 minutes and boom, you never know what Trump did.
Right.
He fired 10 heads of FBI field offices and top executives who were the ones who launched all the investigations into him. And, you know, and people can say, you can't do that. That's retribution. It's like,
yeah.
I mean,
it's,
but it only makes sense. It doesn't just happen there. I mean, I've worked in newsrooms, right, where if there was one faction that strongly supported a news director and that news director gets fired or left and another person comes in who was sort of the opposition, everyone goes. I mean, it's that way in any business. You want, look at police departments, right? They get a new chief. If there's any kind of struggle for chiefs, everybody leaves. You know what I mean? And they get all new chiefs. Okay, Weston is. He's going to be here momentarily.
He's going to be here momentarily. He's coming. He's coming.
We'll see him when he gets there. So, I mean, so they complain, but it's kind of like in any business, it works like that. If you are so opposed to your boss that you're doing no-knock raids with lethal force Oh,
And
approved.
arresting 70-year-old grandmothers for federal FACE Act
Going
things.
through, yeah, his wife's going through Melania and Barron's drawers and things like that, right? And then making these, pardon the pun, but trumped up charges. You actually think that you're going to get to keep your job? You think that anyone could trust you? And you know what? This is what I like about Trump, where he's not asking for permission because people likely can't do that. He can't tell all the workers, resign if you want the buyout. It's like, do it. Then make those FBI agents sue to get their jobs back. And then if they do get their jobs back, send
Put
it
them in
to,
Kathmandu.
someplace far away where there's no even other field
Was there a
offices.
lot of mosquitoes?
Yeah, a lot of mosquitoes, no crime, nothing to do. So, it
Well,
is a,
that wouldn't bother them. They'd make up the crime.
it is sort of the screw around and find out, that's
No,
the screw,
it's
but.
amazing. Everything is just it's just going super fast, and it's great. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Oh, okay. I was trying to read my own handwriting here. One other thing too, while we're waiting for Wes, that I thought is interesting, and some I mentioned this, and then somebody else must have heard me at the White House and said it too. We've been talking about all of the ICE raids. Every day there's ICE raids, ICE raids, ICE raids, right? And like we talked about a week ago with Mark Poff, I'm saying they didn't just suddenly develop all of the intelligence about this. All of these raids that are happening so fast with these known criminals, right? They knew where these people were. So they for years they could have been deporting them. And under the evil Democrat progressive policies, they intentionally left these dangerous people in our communities.
Well, they were thinking about it. They were thinking hard about it.
If I were an American serial killer rapist, right, they probably wouldn't let me just like wander around the neighborhood, right? They'd probably put me in jail and they'd stop me from committing more crimes. But if you were an illegal alien criminal, they just let you out of jail and you could just wander around free. And these raids prove that they knew all along where these people were. These FBI agents, they didn't, these the DEA people, they didn't just suddenly
Well,
develop this
I love how
intelligence.
they know where the Trendahagua gang leader is, who was in Colorado doing the building, was in New York City. I mean,
Right.
so
Yeah, that wasn't like an accident,
they found him there. What do you know?
From Karen, I love that Rev is excited to see what Trump will do next. That's huge. She said most of his friends are like Trump supporters, basically.
Well, wouldn't you be?
Yeah,
Any
really.
little boy is not going to be a Hillary. I mean, the little girls may like
No, they don't pay any attention to Hillary Clinton. But I think though
well, whoever else
again,
we've got,
it
Kamala
sort of
Harris.
talks about the evilness, I think, and that is, I intentionally use that word of the Democrat policies that would say, hey, we would rather, in our efforts to destroy America, we don't care that it's hurting people. We don't care that we're letting criminals go free to prey on people that we could very easily pick up, right? We could easily pick them up. And we're just
Well,
not going
we
to.
have this Washington thing, and I mean, it is funny that they decided they'd go through a major handicapped people, midgets, people in wheelchairs, everything else. They couldn't meet their
The
quota, so
FAA.
yeah, they couldn't meet it. So they had huge opening gaps, and so they had a guy doing two jobs at once.
With the airline crash,
I
right?
mean, just Pete Buttigieg at his best, at his best.
Right. Well, yeah, and people attack Trump, and it's kind of like it's clear. The FAA said they had some like 1,000 positions open. They and there's a lawsuit currently going on with people saying we applied for these, we were qualified, we met all of the requirements. The reason they weren't hired is if they hired like these normal people, they wouldn't meet their quota, literally of dwarves or mentally ill people
Schizophrenics.
that were or
How
schizophrenic.
many schizophrenics do you have as air traffic
Because
controllers?
that's a good idea.
Huh?
That's a
Well,
good
since
idea.
when have you,
So they rather than saying, okay, maybe we need to do some reach out to the schizophrenic dwarf community, and try to get some of them to apply, they just weren't hiring people. It's and in Target, this is sort of an aside because I think we have Wes here. I think it's kind of funny. So poor Target, who got boycotted under their crazy DEI policies, right? And now that they've canceled them, are now getting boycotted by the activists. If you were a corporation and you bought into this, I'm sorry, you deserve whatever is happening to you. So now the other side is
The
boycotting
trannies
them.
are boycotting Target. Well, that's the way it goes.
Hey Wes, if you are there, you want to jump on?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. How are you guys?
We're
We're
good. We're
pretty
good.
good. We're
Good.
pretty good.
There you are.
Awesome.
Thank you for your time. Chuck, and I'll let you talk about,
Oh, thank you.
or do you want me to do it?
No,
To
I don't
explain.
want
Okay, so there was a big Colorado
to.
Republican Party Central Committee meeting last night on Zoom, which is
Okay.
where they always are, by the
No,
way.
they're not.
Trump, but frequently.
No, they had one for the Trump endorsement, and that's the second one they've had.
Okay.
Because people, particularly across the West Slope and everything else, they don't want to travel all the way to Denver. And so it's a way of getting everybody who wants to be part of the meeting, be part of it. But it was to change bylaws. I have no idea why we wanted to adopt these bylaws, to tell you the truth, to me. But people smarter than me decided we want to have all these bylaws. And some of them affected elected officials.
They
And
took
so,
that off.
well, they took it off, day late, a dollar short. So for the first time ever, we had all these elected officials. We had Lauren Boebert with her new white trash mean girl look. Holy boy, was she one just,
Ooh,
I mean,
that's
wow.
one way to put it, Chuck. Yeah, no, you're now. I will give Lauren the benefit here. She has come to past Central Committee meetings. I will give her that. And if she couldn't attend, she proxied in through our now Rhino exposed National Committee woman, Christy Fedora, which, the whole meeting was just a cluster. Let's be honest. I personally supported several of the bylaw amendments. I was
Well,
signed
I
up to
supported
speak
them
on
too, but
behalf
we
of
didn't need to have them particularly. I mean, there was no great
Well,
urgency to have them.
because a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. So, what essentially this was, to cut to the chase, is it ended up, because Colorado's congressional delegation, everybody got up in arms, it sort of ended up being a showdown, I think it'd be fair to say,
Yes.
between the rhinos and between the grassroots. And the
It did.
rhinos barely won, so the meeting was essentially canceled over something that has never been canceled before. But so,
By 7 votes.
right.
And as Chuck said, we had 95 elected officials that have never shown up to a Central Committee meeting before in over the dec in over a decade, right? I've been going to these meetings since I was 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
Because I had the interest, right? And I was, wanting to get involved. I am in my second term as a bonus member, my second 2-year term as a bonus member on the Central Committee. And I'm sitting here watching this, right? And I've never seen any of these people. I've seen a handful of these state representatives. I mean, to name a few, Ken DeGraff, Brandi Bradley, Lauren Boebert has shown up. Former state rep Tim Leonard, Richard Holtorf used to come to the meetings, right? But then you had all these people like Ron Weinberg, which I would prefer to call him Ron Weinerberg, because all he does is whine about how he's treated, because he thinks
You're
he's all that.
disrespecting me. You're
Yeah,
not
you're yeah.
respecting
No, all he could was scream at Dave Williams. It was ridiculous, right? And now it's being compared to an SNL skit on Twitter,
It
which is now
was.
X,
Yeah,
because
it
that's
was.
what it looked like, because
Yes,
he
I
was just
agree.
complaining and complaining and complaining, right? But this meeting was a disaster, right? Now,
Yes.
I agreed with the purpose of it. I agreed with the amendments 100%. But the reality of the situation was, as Julie put it, you had the rhinos and the grassroots that were fighting to make this better. Because as you specifically saw, we had our national committee woman in cahoots with these rhinos coming after these people. Well, what was one of the amendments that we were voting on? A bylaw to allow the removal of a national committee man or committee woman from their seat because of abhorrent behavior, right? We also had the suspension bylaw that you could suspend a member of the Central Committee because of their behavior going against the duly elected party leadership, right? And they all unified, these people that have never come to a meeting before, unified to protect the members of the coup
Right.
from being removed from the party. And that was exactly what happened last night. Don't let anyone fool you.
Right.
And
And
we're
you
coming
gotta,
up. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, and you gotta ask yourself, why did our congressional delegation, who you'd think would have more important things to do right now in Washington, D.C., than attend really some, I mean, a Colorado Republican Party Bylaws Committee meeting, right? I mean, they wrote letters about this, they did all this. The question is why are these people rallying together to protect the coup people? And the answer is, I believe, and Wes, you can weigh in and then Chuck too, this is the establishment, uniparty, Phil Anschutz, open borders, wing of the Colorado
Yes.
Republican Party, who have been horrified that the grassroots took over, trying to take power back and flexing their muscle. I mean, do you
Exactly.
agree with that?
They're trying to regain their hold, right? We
Right.
took their power from them when we elected Dave Williams, a fighter for the conservative movement, a fighter for the grassroots, one of the most conservative members of the state legislature we ever had, to this position of chair against a slate of rhino candidates, right? And now you got people like Britta Horn out here running that are going to try and be the chair of the party, right? Because they participated in the coup. Mind you, Britta couldn't win in the coup group. They
Right.
elected Eli Bremmer over her to be chair. She couldn't even win in that minority group. Now she's going to try and win in the majority group that overruled her and re and put Dave back in. You know, this whole thing comes down to, and I think that the it comes down to the uneducated bonus members that we do have, and it comes down to the uneducated grassroots people that are trying to infiltrate the party, that have no idea what the party does. I mean, there was a post today in the Never Surrender Facebook group talking about how the Central Committee needs to set clear priorities and a clear agenda for the party going forward. And all I could sit there and say was, these people don't understand how this works. The Central Committee, Chuck can speak to this. We've both been bonus members. He serves on the XCOM. I used to work for the state party and attended the XCOM meetings. The Central Committee does not set the agenda for the party. The chairman does. We are simply there to support him with bylaw amendments, resolving controversies, and putting the best interests of the party forward and electing officers who then set our agenda, right? And you know, all I could think was how this compares to a quote from one of my favorite political shows, House of Cards, from Frank Underwood, who was portrayed by Kevin Spacey. He said, quote, "The American people don't know what's best for them. I do. I know exactly what they need. They're all little children, children we never had. We have to hold their sticky fingers and wipe their filthy mouths, teach them right from wrong, tell them what to think and how to feel and what to want. They even need help writing their wildest dreams, crafting their worst fears, and lucky for them, they have me and they have you," right? That quote seemed to speak pretty accurately to these people. They think they know what is best. They think they know how the party works. Well, they don't.
Right.
And they put the party in this position with their attempted coup on Dave Williams. I mean, there was comments last night about people wishing that Chairman Watt, specifically our committee woman, said that she wished Chairman Wattley was watching the Zoom last night, right? And watching what Dave was doing. And I spoke to a friend at the RNC last night, and he told me, he goes, "If she really texted Chairman Wattley about that call last night, she's going to get her stuff handed to her by the political team because it's not her job and it's not her responsibility, and the
Right.
chairman doesn't care."
Well,
And
here's the thing, Wes. So to me, it seems, there are people, and I hear this all the time from people who are not particularly involved, but they just care about the Republican Party, right? And they say, well, but we have to have unity. Well, it's kind of like the Make America Great movement, Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell, right? Mitch McConnell will say, we have to have unity. The reality is, guys, there is not unity because you have the one wing that just wants power. And their idea of
Exactly.
unity is the rest of us doing what they want. I mean, so
Exactly.
there is no unity. Unity is just like you said, telling Kevin Spacey, okay, we'll do it your way, right? So
Yep.
we need to get over that. And we need to realize, okay, there is this, just like Trump and Mitch McConnell, they're both Republicans, but they have very different ideas of what things look like going forward, right? And you kind of, I think, need to decide which way do I like Trump agenda or do I like
Yep.
the Mitch McConnell agenda? I mean,
Exactly.
it's pretty clear.
Well, you have to realize that, let's face it, Dave Williams is a one-time incredible talent, bright, capable, telegenic, everything else. And him winning the party chairmanship was, and lots of great things that he's done. I mean, you can go from endorsing Trump to doing the opt-out lawsuit to
Keeping
dozens
Trump
and
on the ballot,
dozens,
all kinds of things, yeah.
all kinds of things. But we all know he's being recruited by the Trump administration to have be part of it, and they're recruiting him hard. We've got to come up with a leader for the grassroots. And we've got to figure, or else they'll be overwhelmed by their BS. And so the grassroots have to get together and find a leader or leaders, or we'll go down to the you had you had the Gross Group. Barbara, what's her name? Was that there? Let's clap that we
Oh, Barb
want
Kirkmeyer. Yeah, Barb
Kirkmeyer.
Kirkmeyer.
He
Yeah.
wants to get rid of the
You know,
caucus system in his
yeah, I want to, I want all
yeah.
you out of here anyway, so that the rich guys
Exactly.
can vote.
Yeah.
So
Well,
we've got to really start the grassroots, and has got to start fighting for that February, for that March 29th meeting. And I didn't, I was not for this meeting. I thought it was an unnecessary and ill-advised one, especially when you need two-thirds vote to get a bylaw changed. And so the odds that you're going to get that when you have a controversial one are really small. You're always going to get a third that doesn't like something. So why go through this kind of brain damage for something you're not going to succeed at? And I haven't got an answer to that, but I do need an answer to we've got to find some leaders on the grassroots side, or we'll be overwhelmed by those other people.
Well, I think that we do have a leader that will emerge. I know who that leader is. I just can't comment on who that is yet
Well,
because
give
we
us a
still haven't
clue.
heard.
Give us a
We
hint.
here,
Give
this is
us
some
a hint.
stuff. I
I
think
can't. Give us a
I'll
word of
say this.
secrecy.
I'll say
Well,
this.
give us a
Dr.
hint.
Bate, I'm going to say just so because this may answer the question.
Oh,
For
okay.
clarity, I think Dave Williams has not announced what he's going to do.
He
I
has not
think
decided.
I believe that Hope Shuppelman and Anna Ferguson, as far as I know, and I think Darcy is in the mix somehow too. If Dave does, and I don't know this, is just a sense that I have. If Dave does not end up running, I think that they would then run. I've heard some other names out there too, but I will say this, and this I agree with Chuck. I think the narrowness of this vote showed they don't have, they being the rhinos, as near as much clout. They don't have
No.
much of a margin for error,
And
right?
the only
And
reason they had that margin was because of the elected officials that show up. But I want to say, I have one thing I want to say about what you said earlier, Julie, about the unity that they preach. They don't want unity, they
yeah.
want conformity. That's what
Right.
they're after here. They want you to conform to their way of thinking and their agenda. They don't want to unite behind whoever the leader may be. Because let's be honest, our conservative candidate will most likely win in this election for chairman, and I then that candidate has really great shot at this, and they've got my support if they jump in, right? And again, not going to say who, but that candidate's going to beat Britta Horn. There's no doubt about it. That candidate's going to beat Darcy Shaney. No doubt about it. But they are not going to unite behind this person, no matter what, because it is not their person that
Right, no, you're right.
conforms to their ideas.
They will
They will
never
never.
unite. And I think, though, what Chuck is saying, I would agree with this too. I think that the grassroots, I think this shows two things. One, that the rhino side is not nearly as strong as they maybe think they
They're
are,
getting stronger,
but
I
they're
can tell you
getting
that.
stronger, and
It is growing. It
they do have
is.
their they had their act together. They used some, I mean, what did they kind of manipulated the rules last night in a way? What did they say? They had to cancel the meeting because nobody showed their government ID, which is, have you ever shown a government ID to go to a central committee Zoom
Sure,
meeting?
that you
Not
don't
on Zoom, and we've
shouldn't.
met on Zoom for multiple occasions. We met
Right.
on Zoom to endorse President Trump. We've met on Zoom during COVID. We met on
Right.
Zoom prior to that, right?
Right.
We never showed ID there. It was
Right.
fine when it was their leader, but as soon as
Right.
it's ours, there's a
Right. Then you
problem.
got to do that. But I think, though, this also should be a wake up. Maybe
It
that's too
is.
strong, but a wake up to the grassroots
It should be a
It
wake up
is.
because we
It is
gotta,
a wake up.
quite frankly, Dave's gotta make up his mind. I understand he's being recruited hard by the Trump administration because he'd be a tremendous asset to any group he has. But we can't keep on waiting. We can't
Chuck, the
just.
honest answer here, I am being recruited as well, but you don't see me backing away from the fight, right? And I'm not saying Dave is. I love Dave. I talk to him regularly, and I'm not going to speak ill of Dave ever,
I'm not
right?
speaking ill of Dave. I'm just
Yeah.
saying
Look,
we gotta move.
we do.
We've
We
got
do.
we
We do
can't
need to
just be
move.
sitting
We need to
here.
take action.
Yeah,
All right.
and
How come we're not being recruited? Everyone's being recruited but us, Wes. Hey, listen, listen, we
The
can
Trump
talk
administration says,
about.
get us Chuck and Julie. I don't care what it takes. I don't care how much money or how much power you got to give them. Get Chuck
You
and
know,
Julie in
why
the
don't we
administration.
put you guys with Carrie Lake with Voice of America? That's
There we
where I
go.
think you
There you
guys
go.
should
There you
go.
go.
Let's
There
put Chuck and Julie on TV on Voice of America, and it'll be
you go. Yeah.
great. All
Send
right.
us to East Germany. I mean, that'd be great.
I gotta go. Thank you for reading.
Yep.
You know,
Thanks.
thank you for your
Good
comments.
talk.
It's
Good talk.
you're
Time of
always
the
great. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate you
All
guys.
right. Wes Amber there. We'll be talking more about that in a
Yeah,
few weeks.
fine.
But since I went to the trouble of getting a funny video,
Yeah,
we
everybody's on their haunches, kind of waiting for this one.
have to. So we, you know how Trump has been signing executive order, executive order, executive order. Well, this is kind of a funny executive order. So Thomas, we're going out of order here. If you could please play and listen close because it goes quick, the skinny jeans ban soundbite.
And lastly, sir, we have an executive order demanding that grown men stop wearing skinny jeans.
That's a big one, huh? A lot of people are waiting for this for years, for decades.
No more skinny jeans. Now, I only edited it in between, and they should also ban, he should issue an executive order banning man buns for men over 40. I think that would
Or under
also be,
40,
well,
that
I don't
or
mind man buns on young guys, but anyway.
I object to man buns in general.
Just in general. Hey guys, that is going to wrap it up. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, Wes and Kenneth. Don't worry, we'll be talking much more about all of this
We'll bring
stuff.
up the man bun controversy
The
again.
controversy is not going to go
Oh,
away.
it's hardly fought and bitterly a bitter side. So
Besides.
have a great weekend. Enjoy the sun while it's out there and midwinter, but we're moving to spring.
That's
Spring's not that far away.
right. Happy Party Friday,
Take care,
everybody.
everybody.